You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And by the way, before we go into this next segment with Copper and the Birdman, breaking news in the last 20 minutes. It's come out that Governor Ivey did indeed sign those two bills that I was talking about a moment ago, Senate Bill 184 and House Bill 322. Those are the bills that prevent the use of transgender bathrooms, you know, transgenders using bathrooms that don't relate to their biological sex, of teaching K through five about gender fluidity and sexuality, and on the transgender treatments medically for minors. Those are all been signed by the governor. She issued some pretty strong statements. So glad to hear it. Those are now the law of the land in Alabama, and I feel certain they'll be challenged in court, but I approve of the fact that they have been legislated and executive signed. So good to go on that. All right, going to one of my favorite times that we do every single week now. I mean, it's like it started off almost kind of on a whim, and it's become a thing. Copper and the Birdman. These two right now help me run this show daily, and y'all couldn't do without them. Just absolutely couldn't do without them. So that being said, they also have opinions. They are my millennial mavens. They watch the news. They've got their own views on things, and I like hearing it. So, Copper, you got a sound effect ready? You good to go with that?
Indeed.
All right, let me call roll. Birdman, you there?
Howdy, howdy, everybody.
Birdman is here, and of course, Copper is here, so sound effect, Copper, hit it!
Woo-woo! Woo-woo! Woo-woo!
Okay, that's the call. That's the call to action for the Copper and the Birdman segment. All right, first question. Dr. Fauci has been back in the news. Go figure. I'm not sure why they keep trotting this guy out. He's not good for their image. But Dr. Fauci has been openly expressing the possibilities of another round of shutdowns and that we should be prepared for that. How do you and or your generation respond if indeed that were to come about? I'll start with Copper.
Kill me now. That is both my opinion, and I think that would be everybody's opinion. Mental health, it just plummeted, and our generation already struggles with that. So I think we'd just be like, no. We might not post about it publicly because we don't want to not sound woke, but we would definitely hate that.
Okay. Hate that. What do you think? I mean, would people actually, would there be civil disobedience? Would they resist it?
Probably. Going to bars and stuff. Going out on the town. Yeah, okay. I think so.
All right. Birdman, what you think?
Yeah, I think for the most part, people would just kind of ignore it, to be honest with you. I really do. What does come to mind, and I see this pretty actively being, you know, being a college student, it amazes me how many people are still masking and all of this stuff anyways. So I think there would be a pretty significant amount of people who would still buy into it, who would still accept it. And like I said, I'm seeing it all the time anyways. People still refusing to come to classes. So
is that your generation you're saying?
Honestly, yes. I mean, you're talking about a 4-year age gap, roughly, you know, in the university. And I see it very, very frequently.
That's just wacky. I would bet that the vast majority of American society is going to reject the idea of total shutdowns again. And I remember talking to a pastor not long ago who told me that he did what he thought it was right when it first all started. And they shut the doors of the church, and he said that'll never happen again. And I think there's a whole lot of businesses, you know, that found themselves without a business, you know, and they're probably going to say, no, not this time. No, we're not doing it. So, I would dare say that Fauci is out there trying to continue to Fauci people, but is that a term? Did we just coin a phrase here on the show?
Any noun can be verbed.
All right, we refuse to be Fauci'd any further. All right, there it is. I just coined it. We heard it right here, 311 on 48, Right Side Radio. All right, number two question. You ready? Here we go. Yesterday in Montgomery, there was major legislation. We talked about it on the show ad nauseum here the last 20. Well, not ad nauseum because it's a good topic. But yesterday in Montgomery, there was major legislation passed that dealt with the issue of the culture wars, really, in our public schools. Transgender things, LGBTQ agendas, teaching about sexuality and gender fluidity, K-5, transgender treatments of minors, all that kind of stuff. Your thoughts on this? What, I mean, was this needed legislation? Was it needless? Are you lukewarm to it? How's your generation feel? Start with you, Birdman.
Yeah, honestly, my thoughts on this are pretty simple. I think that anytime our state steps in to protect the children, especially against, let's just call it what it is, blatant perversion from the left directed at children, anytime that our state or any state in general steps in, I think it's good. I hate to paint with a broad stroke here, but my feelings on this are pretty cut and dry. And protecting our children and the stuff that they have to deal with in this in the schools, especially when teachers are trying to put it behind closed doors, anything that we can do to stand against that, I'm all for. Yeah, I think it's absolutely needed.
Okay, does yours come from a worldview that says parents should be the ones who do this, or does it come from like a Christian worldview, or is it a combination of the two?
I would argue it's a combination of the two. The way I look at it is, you know, it is the responsibility of the parent to raise the child how they that's biblical. You know, raise up a child how they should be, and they'll never deviate from it. But you know, that is people are so quick to call that indoctrination, and it isn't. It's called being a parent. And when the school system or the government is trying to step in as for the role as a parent, that's a problem, because that's when you get into actual definition of indoctrination. So yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty cut and dry, I think.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Copper, you kind of had some time with this a little bit in Copper's Corner. Was it this week, I think? But
yeah.
Overall thoughts based on yesterday's legislation and stuff.
I'm definitely glad. We need to protect children from what is just blatant child abuse. And I think a lot of people, especially conservative young adults, will be behind it. But then you're, of course, going to get all of the woke people. I mean, even in Huntsville, we've got a big arts community, and I know they're all going to be against this. They're just going to call it emotional control. But I think we needed this. We definitely did.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I tell you what, we're running ahead of schedule, so let me just throw another question. Totally, totally different question line. You ready? Biden administration has been, I mean, of course, of all, liberals have been really harping on the concept of student loan forgiveness, the idea that someone got a student loan, went to college on it, and had to repay it, that somehow that should be paid back by the government. So during COVID, that was one of the things that was suspended, was the repayment. So there are folks who got student loans, you know, as recently as 2 years ago, or some who are making payments from, you know, several years back. But I would say that the majority of student loans are held by people in your generation right now, because that's, you know, they're fresh, closer to college. Well, the Biden administration came out yesterday and further delayed repayments until I think August or September of this year, like putting it off even further. Liberals are screaming, that's not enough. Conservatives are screaming, why did you do this? What do you think? Student loan forgiveness, yay or nay? Copper, you're first this time.
Total forgiveness? Absolutely not. We already have enough problems in the public school system and in upper higher education without having the government get involved more. That just always causes problems and has standards drop. I also don't think we need to defer payments anymore. I think it was a good idea during the first year of COVID especially, and sure, the second year, because people were still getting their feet under them. But at this point, I don't think it's necessary anymore. They should start paying on it again.
All right, Birdman.
I genuinely could not agree with her more. I mean, on everything she has said, this is one of those topics that for me, it is, especially when Biden was running, talking about, you know, student loan forgiveness as a whole. I think this whole thing, like Copper said, it made sense during a specific period. It doesn't make sense anymore. Life is, whether some want it or not, life is getting back to normal, which means you have to be responsible again, and this is your responsibility. That's just how it is, and I think it's a little short-sighted to have the idea that the government should handle all of this for you. That is That is, yeah. I refuse to live my life that way.
Yeah, when Uncle Sugar Daddy comes in and pays off everything, it removes the burden of responsibility. You like that cover?
Exactly. You're absolutely right.
But when the government steps in and makes it all better for you, even though you're the one who signed on the dotted line and you're the one who got the degree in underwater basket weaving and $100,000 in debt because of it, and now you can't find a job, whose fault is that? Yep. I would say, if anything, some of the burden may be borne by the universities who encourage you to get a loan to take the ridiculous liberal arts underwater basket weaving degree in the first place. But certainly, they don't need to be rescued from that contract that they knowingly signed as adults. So that's my thinking. Do what?
It doesn't even work. I mean, if
what,
these
the underwater
actually,
basket weaving?
Right? I mean, more kids are going to take out loans for useless degrees and then end up on unemployment because their college degree doesn't help them actually get a job. It's just a terrible cycle. It should not be enabled anymore.
Totally agree.
And even more so, it's on the parents, too, in my opinion. Yeah. Because when I was in high school, if my parents had not shown me how all this actually works, I remember these universities telling me how all the student loan stuff works. And it sounded, it sounded like a pipe dream. Like, it was just amazing. Like, oh, I can do this, 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 and not have to worry to this degree. Yeah, sure, I'll do that. No wonder all these kids get trapped in it.
Well, and I'll tell you what else, too. I remember when Charlene had some student loans. We got married as students, really. We've been married 35 and a half years now. But I remember when we paid off our student loan, it was a joyous day. So I want to know, if they do this, are they going to go back and repay us for having to pay off her student loan without missing a single payment when we were poor as church mice? I'm just saying. All right, Copper, we're running out of time. You better put us on a break. Lord, we just realized what time it was. We're just pontificating here, enjoying each other's company. All right, we're doing Copper and the Birdman. I'm going to come back with the lighter portion of this. Every week we ask, what's the stupidest story you've seen all week? And they always find something that I haven't seen. All right, Copper and the Birdman right here on Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. You stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So going right back now to the segment we call Copper and the Birdman, the two that keep this show running. I mean, I get to talk in the microphone all the time, but I can't do it without people who are making things happen in the background. But I like bringing them to the foreground and hear what they say about things. So, all right, we just ran through the gamut, you guys. Y'all talked about some social, some cultural, some fiscal issues. Now I want to know, what's the stupidest story you've seen in the news in the last week? So jump on in there. Birdman, you first.
All right, so this might be my favorite one yet. So a lawsuit was recently filed against Kellogg's, and it claimed that the presence of the picture of a strawberry on the Pop-Tart box was misleading. And it actually says, misleading because the label gives consumers the impression that the fruit filling only contains strawberry as its fruit ingredient. And basically they go on to say that this is misconstrued and they deserve to be compensated for this weird misleading advertising.
Here's the thing, you know, as a practicing attorney myself, I have more than once told a mad client, yes, I understand you're mad, but you have to have two things when you file suit. You have to have a legal cause of action and you have to have actual damages. So I want to know, first of all, what is the actual cause of action? I guess you read it out, misleading, this kind of misrepresentation. But then what damages do they really have? I mean, how was their life misstructured by finding out there was more than strawberries in the strawberry Pop-Tarts?
I have no idea, but this dude, he is very upset about it. He's very, very upset about it.
Well, bless his heart, because there's nothing else bigger in life than finding out you had a little bit more than strawberry in that strawberry Pop-Tart. Were there enough sprinkles on top of it? Was it okay? I don't...
I've heard that one before. I've heard that there's more pear fruit than strawberry fruit in it, and that people looking to get their fruit portions through Pop-Tarts say that it's nutritionally damaging to them.
Well, if I had known it was pear, I'd have taken the case myself, dadgummit. Dropping pears in on my strawberry Pop-Tarts. Don't they understand? All right, Copper, you got the next one. What's the stupidest story? That, by the way, Birdman, that was pretty stupid. But Copper, what have you got?
Okay, mine is a Florida man story.
Florida man story?
Yes, they're not the sharpest knives in the drawer. Let's just be real. This Florida man decided that he needed to check the authenticity of his meth.
Now, his meth?
Yes, he bought some drugs and he thought, you know, I think these are probably bath salts, not meth. So what did he do? He called the police and asked them to authenticize the meth that he had purchased, because he informed them that as an experienced drug user, he knew that this was not real meth and he needed them to verify it for him. So of course he got arrested.
Well, you think? I mean, he had a pocket full of meth and he's asking the police to verify its authenticity. I mean, you know, they do, by the way, they do have testing capability because they have to test the evidence to make sure they've got something that they can actually take to trial. But for the love. Okay, I guess the question is, did he need it tested? Because obviously he was on meth, which required him then. Yeah, so, okay, that's just extra wacky.
It turned out to be real, so he, you know, he completely wasted his freedom.
I would assume that it did.
Well, he was experienced. Right.
I don't know which one was stupider. One was like stupid official and one was stupid unofficial, but they were both stupid. So, all right, you guys, good job as always, and thanks for what you do for the show. We appreciate you. Copper and the Birdman, every week we get to hear what my millennial mavens have to say about life in the world around us. All right, listen, folks, we're going to go to a break right now. Just walking into the studio with us is Tim James is running for governor. He's here right here with us. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the issues. What's he thinking about the campaign? Where are we headed right now? What's new on his mind? And, you know, we'll just kind of break it all down and see where it goes. But there's plenty of things happening in the news. It's not all politics. But I'll tell you right now, I said it earlier in the show, and I still mean it. Kids are worth fighting for, absolutely worth fighting for. And as we talked about it with Copper and the Birdman, as we talked about it in my monologue, and as I spent the whole first section of the Triple Dipper, I'm just going to tell you right now, kids are worth fighting for. And liberals are coming for the kids. They just are. And if you think they're not, you're living in an alternate reality. And by the way, they are the aggressors in the fight. Don't let them try to co-opt the message right now by telling you that it's conservatives who are after them. It's just the opposite. They are coming for our kids, and all we want to do is raise up our child in the way that should go, so when they get old, they will not depart from it in the means by which the parent determines best, as opposed to the school or the system or whoever. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.